Our limud and us breakfast in our sukkah is sponsored by the Shalom Huberfeld Le'ilui Nishmas. His grandfather's yotzei will be tomorrow, on Tuesday, on Simchas Torah, and the name is Avron Tzvi Ben Shalom Le'ilui Nishmasoi. Also the refuah of Pinchas Ben Brindel, Mr. Huberfeld Senior, Mr. Hashem Shana refuah and a good kvittel. We're going to learn today very briefly about a very interesting topic, and that is something I noticed and I was wondering what to do with it, and it took me a little while to find something. And that is that we have the schus of now sitting in the sukkah. We've had a very good sukkah, with the exception of yesterday being a little challenging for the meals. But in general, sukkah is the time of water. There's a lot of connections to water. Let's try to isolate some of them. All of them perhaps are regular knowledge, but put together maybe create a picture. What are connections between sukkos and water? Well, so we have... So nisach hamayim. What was that, Shlomi?
The esrog grows on
right, the water. Right, we have some of the arba minim grow on the water. Anything else? What else?
We bench Geshem
tomorrow, God willing. It's almost Parshas Noach.
Real professor.
Very good. So all the natural connections. So there are, just to see some of them inside, there's another aspect of this as well. The Mishnah Rosh Hashanah Tezayin says, Ba'arba prokim ha'olam nidon. There's four times the world's judged. We know Rosh Hashanah, but apparently there's a din on Pesach and Shavuos as well. The last line of the Mishnah is, V'chag, that's Sukkos nidonim alamayim. The din of water is on Sukkos, which is interesting because Sukkos ends when? Today. Today is the last day of Sukkos. It's the day where there's an aspect of din, as we saw in the Tefillah. And it's interesting that we request water the day after, right? When Shemini Atzeres enters, that's the time we request water. Fascinating balance over here, which we see. Similarly, as was mentioned beforehand, Mishnah Sukkah, Nun Aleph, Amud Aleph says, Misha Lo Ra'a Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Loi Ra'a Simcha Miyamov. There was this beautiful simcha which took place every day after the Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim. They would bring up the water, because usually on the Tamid, they would, with the Tamid sacrifice, they would take wine. It would be the wine libation. They pour it into a larger hole, the Mizbeach. For these days of the year, for the days of Sukkot, they bring up water and they pour it on there. There would be constant the simchas based on Shoeva. The party would go all the way through Ramat Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, all the way till the next morning. In fact, they said there was no sleep during Sukkot because of these parties which were ongoing. And it was very famously about the drawing of the water. The Mishnah goes to a beautiful description of how it was arranged and celebrated. Another example. This one is one which we contend with most regularly. Mishnah in Chof Sukkah Chof Chesam Abayis. Kol Shiva Sayomim Odom Oise Sukkosa Kva Ubeisoy Arai. Person lives in his sukkah permanently and his house is temporary. Yardu Geshomim. When the rains come down, May Mosai Mutar Lefanois. When can you leave? Misha Tisra Makva. When a certain food is ruined. And the Gemara, the Mishnah says, the Mishnah continues, Moshloi Moshul Lamaha Dava Domer. What is the way we are viewing the raining on Yom Tov, on Sukkos? Domina Evet Shabbat Limzog Kois Larabo Vashafach Lakitoin Alponov. It's like bringing water to one's master and the master throws it back in one's face. Not a good sign. Perhaps more poignant in Eretz Yisrael, but nonetheless still a very powerful marshal, which again comes back to the idea that Nidonim Amamayim, but we only request mayim afterwards, right? There's this balance of water being very important, but not important that we want it right now. And once again, we see such a similar thing. And similarly, as was mentioned, Shlomi mentioned, the most, of course, the item of the arba minim, which is most connected to water, of course, is what we use today, which is the arava. The arava is a zecher of what they used to do in the Migdash. They used to actually hold the arava and bring the aravas from a place called Moitzon. They used to lean them against the Mizbeach for all the 7 days. And the seventh day was the most important day. And in fact, it was said that the wise are called arava. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah, Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, source 3, says, Da'omer Rabbi Asim Rabbi Yochanan, Esrin Tiyos Arava Nisuch HaMayim Alocha L'Meshrim Sinai. We know that we'd bring the arava on Sukkos as Alocha L'Meshrim Sinai, which is why in the post-Migdash reality we only have one day, not like the Lulav where it is extended. Tana Rabbanon Arvei Nachal HaGadilois Al HaNachal. The arava has to be grown by a river. Prat letzavtzufa gedela ben ha'arim, to exclude another type of willow which grows in the mountains. And in fact, the Gemara goes on to say that its arava is the acronym of al roiv mayim. It makes me think of a story of anorotzim v'hemorotzim. The arava is something which is by the waters. It's interesting that it finds its full expression on the day where it's the bridge between requesting water and the din on the water, which is the Hoshana Rabbah. So the question is, what do we make of this? I mean, there's so many aspects over here of water. There's so many different avenues in which we consider water. So what do we do with this? That's the question. I looked around for a long time to find ideas. One idea that I was able to find was very interesting. We're all very familiar with the notion of the Gra on Shir HaShirim. We talked about this on Yom Tov. The Vilna Gaon talks about how Sukkos is to commemorate not the first Ananei HaKavod, but the second Ananei HaKavod. Very fascinating idea. Most people don't get to the beginning or the end of that Gra, though. The Gra on Shir HaShirim also now identifies the first four phrases in Shir HaShirim identified of the four Regalim. Why four Regalim? There's Pesach, there's Shavuos, there's Sukkos, and Shmini Atzeres. We're about to enter into Shmini Atzeres. Says the Vilna Gaon, look at the second last line of Source 4. It says, Moshcheini acharecha. When Mishir HaShirim says, Hashem, draw me after you, so that I can run after you. Hu neged Shmini Atzeres, Shehu li Yisrael levado, which is only to Israel. Ba'im neged dalar achushim. It is keneged the four senses. Earlier on, I apologize, he says it more explicitly earlier on, where he talks about how Shmini Atzeres, the last stage of the four regalim, is getting into the land of Israel. So Hashem takes us alone. He takes us aside into the land of Israel. The Ananei HaKavod were in the desert. Their Pesach was leaving Mitzrayim. Then Shavuos, of course, was Matan Torah. Then there was the desert experience through Ananei HaKavod, the return of the Ananei HaKavod. Shmini Atzeres is entering to Eretz Israel, which is fascinating. If that's the model, then let's think about this for a moment. In the desert, which is represented by Sukkos, how was our water given to us? Supernaturally, right? We had a well, we had Be'er Miriam the entire 40 years. It was only when we entered into Eretz Yisrael, that's when we had to look upwards. We had to pray. We had to rely on Hashem. Unlike here in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to worry about rain on Sukkot so much. It's not as much of an issue because Eretz Yisrael depends on, there's almost 3 or 4 months of no rain whatsoever. Where the Tanya says that 2 weeks after Sukkot, there's no rain, you start praying. Everything's dependent on the water. The whole cycle, agricultural cycle. We're in the Middle East. It's not Keretz Yisrael Kagada Yarok that you just open up the sluice gates of the River Nile and the canals full and all the fields are irrigated. We enter into Eretz Yisrael. That's what's happening over here. We're moving from the Midbar days of the water into the Eretz Yisrael days of the water. And today is the juncture between the two of them. The Hoshana Rabbah between that experience and going into the dependent experience of Shmini Atzeres into Eretz Yisrael. If we take it according to the Gra that way. Fascinating idea, which also explains the importance over here of perhaps the transition being expressed through She'eva. The Maya, the Simchas Beis HaShoeva is where we draw. The drawing is our effort. Is where we go and we pull out the water, and that's perhaps with the transition point which we're experiencing. But if you want to take it one step deeper, there's a very fascinating idea which is not as well known. The idea is to be found in a few isolated sources. Here's one of them. The Torah tells us in Source 5, Vayikra, Perek Beis, V'kol korban min chasecha v'melach timlach v'lo sishpis melach bris elokecha me'al el min chasecha. The Torah emphasizes in three times in this one pasuk that every korban needs to be accompanied with salt. Okay. Now, most of us are not, if we go to the store and look at what the ingredients of salt are, most of our salts today are actually chemically produced. But in the good old days, and if you buy the salt of Eretz Yisrael, where does salt come from?
Sea salt.
Salt comes from the sea. Right, if you're going driving down to the Dead Sea, you'll see those large pans of where the water was filled up and then it evaporates and you're left with salt reserves, and that's where we get Dead Sea salt, right? Now, why is it so important that we have salt on all korbanos? And the pasuk seems to emphasize it very important three times in one pasuk. Rashi tells us, Source 6, there's a very fascinating idea behind this. Melach bris, what's the covenant of salt? Shabris, kerusa lemelach misheshes emeberashes. This covenant of salt goes back to the primordial times of creation. Shehuvtuchu hamayim atachtonim likorev b'mizbeach b'melach, v'nisuch hamayim b'chag. That Hashem made a promise to the lower waters that they would approach the Mizbeach through two avenues. One is melach, the water would return to the Mizbeach, and number two, through a Nisuch HaMayim. What's this referring to? So Rabbeinu Bechaya expands on this. Rabbeinu Bechaya on the same Pasuk, taking a look at the second line. V'chein Amar B'Midrash, quoting Bereishis Rabbah, Mayim Tachtonim Nikru'u Mayim Boichim. The lower waters are called the crying waters in the world. What does that mean? V'lomo Nikru'u Mayim Boichim, ki b'shar shechilek HaKadosh Baruch Hu, es HaMayim Noson, Eilu Lamalo, Ve'Eilu Lamato. On the second day of creation, the first machlokes, the first division of a natural body being split up, happened on the second day where the waters are split up. The lower waters were put in the lower, the nether world. Hizchilu mayim atachtonim boichim, they started crying. Vezeu shekosov, mivchi anarois chavash. Omar Rebbe Abba, bivchi nisparushu amayim atachtonim in al yoinim. Omru oilonu shiloi zochino lalois lamala liyois krovim liyotsreinu. They were in despair that they were separated from the Creator, whatever that means. And to some degree, they were the waters that were told not to be higher. Now, scientifically, there's a lot of fascinating observations over here. You know, if you read Nathan Eliezer's book, Dr. Eliezer's book, he claims, you know, there's an Oort cloud around the parameters of our solar system, which is an ice cloud. There's lots of very fascinating attributions, what the Mayim Elyonim is. The Ramban understands it to be more of a celestial, spiritual idea of Mayim Elyonim. Where this is not just an anthropocentric idea, it's not just from Earth, it's a general perspective of the Mayim Elyonim. Nonetheless, some of the water was chosen to be below, some of the water was chosen to be above. That separation created an angst. There was this crying of the waters, the lower waters. What happened? May also. They try to break through to rise. Hashem put them back in their place. Hashem placed them back in their path that they shouldn't overflow the lands. Because this is the response to their separation. Going to the next paragraph. Why were you trying to rise up on the earth? For my honor, not your honor. I'm going to make sure that the upper waters can't sing Shira, can't express their tafkid until you said Shira. Which we say every Friday. Meaning, when is it that the Adir Bamorom Hashem happens? Only after we have Mikolos Maim Rabim Adirim Mishpere Yom, that the waters of the sea express Shira. That's how the Midrash learns it. V'loy od, elo sha'asidim atem nikorev al gabe mizbeach, b'melach v'nisuch ha'imayim. Therefore, coming back to Rashi, you can only have, how did the Maim Tachtonim get there, some form of Nechama? Was when they came up, when we drew them out of the depths of the earth, we went to the springs, we took them, we put them on the Mizbeach, we said, you also have a part in the service of God. It doesn't have to be only the Maim Elyonim. That was, in a certain sense, the Nechama. Fascinating. It's interesting to note, there is a beautiful sefer called the Tefillah LeMoshe, which is on Tehillim, which says the most fascinating insight, and that is that explains why it is that we have this the Mizmor in Tehillim where it says, "Al Naharos Bavel Shom Yoshavnu Gam Bochinu Bezochrenes Tzion." Where this is what used to be said before benching on a weekly basis, on a daily basis during the week. That when we were exiled to Babel, to Babylon, we sat on the rivers of Babylon and we cried. You notice that the only word of this sentence over here, which was not translated by the Mechon Mamre, is the word Gam. Do you notice that? By the rivers of Babylon there, we sat down, we wept when we remembered Zion. Gam, what does Gam mean? We also wept. We sat and we wept. What does it mean, and we wept? So says the Tefillah LeMoshe, the most fascinating twist. He says, because you understand that the lower waters only had restitution. They only had restitution when there was a Mizbeach. When there was some way to take them and bring them to the altar of Hashem. When there was a place for the Melach of the sea to go back onto the Mizbeach. When we went to Bavel, there was no longer the base of Migdash. It was the first time we were in a Migdash absent reality since that promise. So what happens? We sat on the rivers of Babylon. We sat by the rivers that no longer had an expression of godliness in this world. Gam bochinu! Like the crying waters, we cried with them. The Mayim Tachtonu also called the Mayim Boichem. We cried with them because now we are by waters that had no place. In an interesting twist, there's a beautiful, again, also a book called Yismach Moshe by Rabbi Yekusiel Teitelbaum, who says that, interestingly enough, that is the Yitzhak Ponim, who also says that that's the Pshat in Tashlich. Tashlich is a tam. He makes an interesting note. He says that the waves of the sea, why do waves happen? So how waves happen, we can work out scientifically. We understand the tides, we understand the winds, we understand vacuum. Why is it in such a way? So he says it's almost like the water is trying to reach upwards to God. We go to Tashlich, we go to a live body of water. Why? Because on Rosh Hashanah, when it's our time of Din, we witness the inanimate world trying to reach upwards again to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we say to ourselves, if the inanimate world so much wants that connection upwards, shouldn't we on Rosh Hashanah be wanting that connection upwards? That's why we go to a body of water. Fascinating insight into Tashlich. So what happens? Why are the waters crying? What's the problem? Why are the waters crying more today? Because there's no expression. Because the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. Because why was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? Because of us. We put that wedge in the place. That's perhaps why the Midrash says, and there's numerous expressions of this, where it says in the Midrash that the water tries to, when we do sins, the waters try to overlap the world. They try to flood the world. Why are they trying to flood the world? It's almost like they're trying to rise again. Hashem said, I'll stop you rising. But that's when they have an expression. When there was no longer expression, it says, the Midrash in Tehillim says, Hashem had to stop them and create a barrier by the chol of the sea to stop them in their places because there's no longer an expression for them in this world. Which is why, which is most beautifully expressed in the Gemara, in Source 11, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says, Rimnei ma omra Torah nischu mayim b'chag, wali wili nischu chamayim, omra kodesh baruchu nischu mayim lefonai mayim b'chag, kedei sheyis baruchu lochem gishmei shana. We do nusach hayayin, so the water of the year, the rain of the year should be blessed. Do you see what's happening over here? We take the Mayim Tachtonim, we give them expression in the Beis Hamikdash, and how does Hashem respond? Hashem responds with the Mayim from the heavens. It's the rejoining of the waters, but we have to do our part in it. Interestingly enough, if you come back to that Vilna Gaon, that's exactly what we're thinking about. When we do the right things, v'yayim shomar tishmuel misosai, what's the response? Hashem gives us geshem v'itam. The expression of Hashem's repaying us in the most simple way is water, but the reconnection of the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim. When it comes to the way we sin, what happens is we've severed that connection. The lower waters try to reach up once again. Hopefully, as we approach the Shemini Atzeres, when we ask for the water, we say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though we don't have the expression, we don't know the place to take the Melach, we don't know the place to take the Nisach HaMayim, but hopefully our actions can be zoichim to the degree that when we ask for this, we ask for on this Shemini Atzeres for Mayim, and hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can reunite the Mayim Elyonim and the Mayim Tachtonim even without our vehicle of expression itself. I'd like to close with a last and very fascinating thought, and that comes back to the whole process itself. And that is that the shiur, I mentioned this over Sukkot to a few people, the shiur of the Mayim, of the Mayim, the Nisach HaMayim, is how much? How much is the water on the Nisach HaMayim is? It says 3 lug, the Mishnah tells us in Sukkah. There's one other place where Mayim is the shiur of 3 lug of Shu'uvim. Where is that?
By Mikveh.
Right, we know that a mikveh is poiseled by 3 lugim, exactly, Yehuda, on the ball. If you have a mikveh, which is chaser gimel lug, and it means to say it is just 3 shy of 40 seah, which is a basic mikveh, and you pour in water, which you filled up from the tap, in a jug, and you put it in, which is mayim shu'uvim, you drew it, it's pasul. Isn't it interesting? The mayim shu'uvim of 3 lug is what we celebrate at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. And it's the Mayim Shu'uvim, which is Poisel and Mikveh. The very same Mayim, the same Shiur of Mayim, is which is Poisel, and which is, or not just Machshir, but is a source of celebration. It's almost like there's something which is celebrating, worth celebrating, something which is terrible in certain circumstances. How do we understand this? So close with the following thought. The Beis Yaakov, Rav Yaakov Liner, the Rebbe of Ishpitz, after his grandfather, says a very fascinating idea. He says that the pshat over here is what's going on is, on Yom Kippur, we know that the phrase that Maseches Yoma closes with, that the following lines of Rabbi Akiva is, Mikvah Yisrael Hashem. Hashem is the Mikvah of Yisrael. On Yom Kippur is where we get our real atonement from HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Mikvah of Hashem. When it comes to the Mikvah of Hashem, when we're going through a cleansing process, when we're trying to create a new relationship with Hashem, there's no room for baggage. There's no room for all the extraneous parts of our character that we bring in. Hashem, we're starting this relationship. We're going to create a vacuum. Everything you say to me is going to be what you're saying. I'm not coming in with my lenses, with my preconceived notions, with my character, with my personality. There's no space for shu'uvim, for drawn water, for my effort in the process of the water drawing. That's the mikveh experience. Once we've got that straight, once we've got through a Yom Kippur, we've cleared that relationship, it's pristine. Now we can say, let's bring back the shuvim. Let's bring back the effort in the drawing of this water. And that's something to be celebrated. Because Hashem wants us all to express our personalities. He wants our baggage. He wants our life experience. He wants our circumstances. He wants us to express our rawness. But only after we cleared the decks beforehand. When there was the Yom Kippur, which was the mikveh, where there was no three lugim of Mayim Shuvim. It was all Min HaShomayim. It was the Gishmei Hashem. When it comes to Sukkos, what we celebrate is the Shuvim. The fact that we had a part in it. That's something worth celebrating. It's the very personality, it's the very effort, which is the same aspect which we celebrate on Sukkos. And that, for us, is the way we start. That's the basic Yaakov HaKol, our most interesting insight. Mezah Hashem, we should be Zoichem. We should be zeichem that we bring and connect those waters, the lower waters and the higher waters, and we see as they connect to us, Mitzvah Shem be'itom of Yizmanom, here and in Eretz Yisrael. Mitzvah ma'vachta v'chagecha v'ayitza ma'asameya Mitzvah ma'vachta v'chagecha v'ayitza ma'asameya Mitzvah ma'vachta